AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, an overspeeding prop makes for an interesting overwater cross-country. Find out what happens in Ocean View by Jim Cribb. For months, I had been planning a dive trip at Cayman Brac, one of the Cayman Islands. My non-pilot co-pilot, Lynn, and I have gone on many dive trips in my Piper Cherokee 6 PA-32-260. Please note that Lynn is a male. For some reason, my wife of 25 years won't let me go on flying diving trips with single females. Our friends and diving companions, Amy and Bob, would accompany us on this trip. It would be our longest stretch over water and out of sight of land. The Cayman trip was preceded by 15 hours of flying over a period of about 4 weeks while getting an instrument proficiency check. I felt very comfortable with the aircraft and the fairly new Garmin 430 GPS with a Latin America database update. The airplane is based at Herlong Recreational Airport in Jacksonville, Florida. We decided to break the trip into 2 3-hour legs over 2 mornings, Friday to Marathon, Florida, and Saturday to Cayman Brac. On Saturday morning, I completed a thorough pre-flight inspection, did an extensive pre-flight briefing, and we all put on our life vests. We departed at 9 a.m. Because of our initial weight, 3,350 pounds, with a max gross of 3,400 pounds, we had asked for and received permission from Cuba to overfly their airspace at 4,000 feet. I am a member of Caribbean Flying Adventures, and the annual membership includes 1 Cuba overflight permit per year. At Cayo Largo, we made the left turn toward Cayman Brac on Victor Airway A511 and left the comfort of land. About 75 nautical miles from Cayo Largo, I asked Havana Center if I could climb to 6,000 feet because it was getting quite warm outside. They approved the request, and I increased power slightly and began a slow ascent. All was well, until 5,500 feet. At that point, the airplane experienced a sudden and unexpected prop overspeed that was severe and estimated to be 3,000 RPM. Red line on this Cherokee 6 is 2,700 RPM. I lowered the nose, immediately pulled the propeller control aft, and retarded the throttle. There was absolutely no control over the prop. Nothing. There was still about 73 nautical miles of open water between us and our destination. The RPM was now fluctuating between 2,000 and 2,700. I contacted Havana Center and told them I was having mechanical problems and wanted to return to 4,000 feet. As we approached 4,000 feet, the RPMs were fluctuating from 2,000 to 2,500. At 4,000 feet, they were fluctuating from 2,000 to 2,350. I contacted Havana Center again and requested 3,000 feet. They approved it and asked if I wanted to declare emergency. I said no, but I will give you a position report to LESOM every 5 minutes. They asked if I was having any difficulty with the other engine, and I said no, there isn't another engine. They also asked me if I had a raft and what color it was. The outside is yellow, but I don't know what the inside is, and I don't want to know. The Cuban controller laughed at that one. When I arrived at 3,000 feet, the RPM stabilized at 2,000. Manifold pressure was 23 inches, and I told my passengers that we were good for now, but I might be able to make it perform a little better. They all said, pretty much in unison, "Don't touch it." During the descent, I briefed everyone twice what we should do if we had to ditch the aircraft. With this power setting, we were flying at about 95 knots, and we continued to monitor the RPM and the oil pressure gauge very closely. We were handed off to Gerard Smith International Airport Tower, about 45 miles from the Brac. The tower cleared me for a left base for a visual landing on runway 9. I asked to maintain 3,000 feet until over the field, and then do a circle to land. The controller approved that request and asked again if I wanted to declare an emergency. I said no. We landed without incident and taxied to the ramp. They had the emergency equipment out of their garage, but not on the runway or taxiway. With a little help from a mechanic who works with Cayman Airways, we ordered and installed a new prop governor on the airplane. It didn't work either. We then determined that the shaft was separated inside because the female spline that powers the governor didn't turn with the prop, but you could turn it with your fingers. We shipped the engine to Don George Aircraft Engines in Orlando, hoping to get it rebuilt. When he started taking the accessories off of it, he discovered some foreign objects in the accessory case. He also discovered the close encounter with a case puncture a few inches from the oil filler. We will probably never know if this was caused by the prop governor shaft separation or other damage that was caused by the overspeed. The airplane is still on Cayman Brac as this article goes to press, with a factory rebuilt engine installed temporarily. We have to lift the engine again so that we can remove the short threaded bolts on the dynofocal engine mounts that came with our 1965 manufactured engine. The new engines don't come with the mounts. Only by modifying the mounts can we install them on the new engine properly. We are flying down to the Brac to complete the installation, install the prop, do the ground checks and the 2-hour break-in flights, and then head back to Florida. Like many pilots, I suppose that I was hesitant to declare an emergency. The engine was still delivering power, and the propeller RPM stabilized by reducing the throttle and lowering altitude. Communication was good, and I could not expect any help, as we were still almost an hour from land. However, I will never again hesitate to declare that dreaded emergency. Thankfully, the engine held together, and the fire and safety equipment was ready, if I needed it, at Gerard Smith International. The lesson that is taught many different ways to pilots is to first and most important, fly the airplane. I had been taught this, so aviate, navigate, and communicate was what I did. We had a calm crew and a stable airplane and were able to avoid a water landing in a fixed gear airplane that might have ended quite differently than Captain Sully's miracle on the Hudson. The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.